All right, we're going to be in Luke, the 8th chapter, the 16th through the 18th verse of this morning, Luke 8, 16 through 18. We're going to be talking about light this morning. And Matthew 5, 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men. You know, God has given you a light. And he instructs us here to let it shine before men. That's an obligation on our parts. Those of us who have been given light. Now, one of our greatest needs is light. We all have eyes to see. None of us in this congregation are blind. We're thankful to the Lord for that. But all of us have eyes to see. But without the gift of light, sight is useless. You know, you get up in the middle of the night and there's no night light and you open up your eyes and what good is it? You're looking for light. Eyes need light to see. God has filled our world with light, for without light, life cannot exist. You plant a plant in a dark room, it does not exist. It dies. It needs light. And God has filled our world with light. We're so thankful that the sun rose this morning. Now, this statement concerns the physical, but it also concerns the spiritual. For without light in the spiritual, we cannot exist. God is the author of light, both the physical and the spiritual. We remember in the book of Genesis that God said, "Let there be light." And he provided light by the sun, which rises and sets each day. But more importantly, he provided light by his son, Jesus Christ, who told us that he is the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. And because God is conforming his children to the image of his son, he gives them the responsibility and the wherewithal to also be the light of the world. His children compose the body of Christ and therefore are to broadcast that light given by God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother has come today to broadcast light. Now, Philip Bliss in 1871 captured this truth when he wrote, "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore." And he says, "Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave, for to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore." You know, we're the lower lights. We're to be kept burning. And he gives us this mission of being the lower lights by the instruction of Luke 8, 16 through 18, which says this: "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed." Now, that's silly to even contemplate that. The lights go out and mother says, "Do we have any emergency lights?" "Well, I have some candles." So I go in the drawer and I have tons of candles, half burned, quarter burned, three quarter burned. No new candles. And I light the candle and I put a bushel over the candle. And my wife says, "What's the matter with you? Hiding your light in a bushel? It's dark. We need the bushel taken off." "But setteth it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Oh, foreboding words. Now, in verse 10 of this chapter, Jesus has told his disciples that he intended to hide the truth of the kingdom from the people while revealing it to his followers. In verse 10, he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand." So we're told that Jesus, when he was on the earth ministering in Israel, spoke in parables to hide the truth. And then explaining their meaning only to his followers. But now in verses 16 through 18, Jesus makes it clear that this hiding of the truth is not to be done by his disciples who hear the truth. The truth Jesus taught was like a light, and light was not intended to be hidden, but to be brought into the open, where men in the darkness of sin could benefit from it. Now, the candle in this passage, of course, is Christ. He's the light of the world. And he now tells his disciples that they will make that light known to others. That's our mission. To let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify God. That's why we're here. You know, God could have saved you and said, "Let's go to heaven. You're done here." No, he didn't do that. He said, "You've got a mission. I want you to be the lower lights." Now, in verse 17, the Lord Jesus said that nothing which was presently hidden was to stay hidden for long, but would be brought out into the open. Now, look at nature itself. Nature on a fruit tree tells us that things are revealed in time. You go to an orange tree and it's all green. And you stand day after day and pretty soon the fruit is revealed by its color orange. So there's a time for the revelation of knowledge, and Jesus is saying that when it's ripe and full of color, it will be revealed. And the gospel that was hidden by Christ until it was ready to be broadcast by his disciples will take place. Now, Jesus was not revealing his secrets to his disciples so that they could keep these things to themselves. He was hiding them from Israel, but giving them to the disciples that they in time would reveal them. Now, he did not come as the light of the world to be hidden from the world, but to shine forth to the world. And he was revealing his secrets to his disciples, not to be hidden, but to be revealed as the light of the world. Now, the disciples were urged to listen well. Our pastor does that from time to time. He says, "Listen well." He looks out in the congregation and he sees eyelids falling. Do you ever see that? Okay, I'm looking. Everybody have their eyes open? Keep the eyes open. Jesus said, "Listen well. Take heed." For they carried the light which the Lord had entrusted to them, and if they took heed, they would be given more light. Don't you want more light? You know, in a dark room, you have a little pin lighted. You're trying to find your shoes. Just turn on the light. But Jesus said, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Oh, this is a responsibility, beloved. Take heed, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Oh, I like that passage. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. I'm not sure I like that. But that's what our Lord said. Take heed. You don't hear that word much anymore, do you? Take heed. It's one of those words of character. The words of character are disappearing from the scene. You know, we've taught them in Proverbs. Diligence, responsibility, honesty. Do you hear those anymore? Hardly. But in this statement, Jesus warned them to listen well, for to miss these truths would result in the loss of spiritual truths they already seemed to have. Oh, that's terrible, to lose the light. Listening to the word well will result in the word doing its work, and not listening to the word well will result in no work being done in the heart. Listen to the word well, and you'll grow. Now, taking heed how you hear the word will expose the secrets of your heart. You know, you've got secrets in your heart you don't even know. There are things going on in your heart that you'd be very surprised about. But the Word of God will bring them to your knowledge, and you'll repent over those. You'll be heartbroken over those things that the Word of God reveals in your heart. Cast all those things upon the Lord. And in so doing, the Word will bring you in conformance to the image of Christ. Don't you want to have that happen to you? Now, taking heed to the Word is allowing the Word to do its work of sculpting, so that you will be approved of God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. You know, I've read the story of Michelangelo. And he was out in the quarry, and he was selecting materials for the statue David. And he's the only one that could see David in this huge block of marble, granite. I'm not sure. But he saw David in there. No one else saw. All they saw was this huge block. So he had that taken to his studio, and he started chipping. David, are you in there?
I'm in here. Let me out.
Oh, it's the most beautiful statue in the world. And he released it. He saw what was in there. God sees what's in there for you and me. And he daily sculpts us. You know, some of us, we may pull back. Don't let the hammer chip so hard. But some of us say, go ahead, Lord, take that off. I don't want it anymore. I want to be conformed to your Son. So not heeding how you hear, casually hearing the word without any desire to let the word work, will result in a loss of any truth a man seems to have. That's what the scripture says. Now, this principle can be summarized by saying, either grow in the light, or any light that you may have will be taken from you. We could say it this way, use the light or lose the light. The Amplified Bible records verse 18 this way, "Be careful, therefore, how you listen." You know, that ought to be a prayer every time you come to church. Every time you open the Scriptures. Lord, help me to listen carefully. Help me to heed what is said. Help me to heed what is read. That ought to be a prayer of ours. "For to him who has spiritual knowledge will more be given, and from him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away." Oh, that's drastic, is it not? Now, Jesus explained the same principle when he told the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Remember the man that was given five talents, and he brought to the master five talents more. The man who was given two talents brought to the master two more. But the man who was given one talent, oh, he was afraid of the master. "I better keep this under the tree. I'll bury this. I don't want to upset the master." Well, you know, there were unintended consequences to that kind of lazy, slothful thinking. And he buried the talent under the tree. And what was the master's response? He praised the servants who brought profits of two and five talents to him, but the servant who brought no profit was told how wicked and slothful he was. Those are another two words that are out of the vocabulary. You don't go up to people, "Oh, you're so wicked and slothful. What are you doing? What world are you from?" But that's what our Lord told him. And what did he do? He took the one talent away. He didn't bring welfare. He didn't say, "Well, you poor servant, I'll pat you on the head. Give me those talents that you made, fellas, and give it to this one." No, it didn't happen. Well, praise the Lord. Now, the message is clear. Either be profitable to the Lord or lose your ability to be profitable. That's what happened with the servant. He lost his ability to be profitable. He had no talent, and he was cast out into utter darkness. You are to grow in spiritual knowledge, or you will go backwards in spiritual knowledge. If you do not grow, you will shrink. Now, what happens to the body when growth stops? It doesn't stay there. It starts shrinking. Now, some of you young people, perhaps you haven't grown to your maximum height. But when you do, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start shrinking. I mean, isn't that strange? You don't just stay there. You know, we have on the back of our pantry door the heights of all of our children as they grew up. I mean, the pantry door is full of pencil marks. This is a good thing to do. But you can see when they were growing. And then all the adults, that when you come to our house, we'll have to take your measure. But all the adults put their heights on there. But then as they do it from time to time, you start noticing. What's happening? Nothing stays the same. If you do not grow, you will shrink. The body does not stand still in this matter. It either grows or shrinks. You measure your height all your life and plot it on a graph. If you live long, it will be a rising line, and then it will be a falling line as you age. I'm sorry to bring that news. That's sad news, but it's the truth. But it teaches us that there is no standing still in God's economy. We sing this song to impress this truth into our heart. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's what we want. Don't we want that for our children? We ought to want that for ourselves. So this teaches you cannot hit a plateau in spiritual growth. You either grow or go backwards. You either grow or you shrink. Now, this truth, unfortunately, is active in our country today. A country that has had much light. This country has had more light, I think, than any other country. But because of its rejection of that light, any light that we seem to still have is being taken away. We say, how fast things are changing. What's happening? God's taking light away. You reject the light, God takes the light away. Light is being taken away in order for the ripening of unbelief to proceed toward its natural outcome. But Jesus says to his disciples, take heed. Be careful how you listen to my word, for you will be called upon to carry the light you are being given, and if you do it faithfully, more light will be given. You know, God works on individuals. We see the nation taking place, but all the nation is composed of individuals. Light is being taken away from individuals. But if you heed the word, more light will be given to you. Our responsibility is for us to heed the word. But by withholding the light of truth from the people, by teaching in parables, Jesus Christ was demonstrating this principle. Remember Israel. Israel was revealed by the Pharisees. Israel was revealed by the Sadducees. Israel was revealed by the people. And Israel was continuing in a spirit of unbelief, a rejection of light, and Jesus Christ was not going to give them more light, but less light. Remember he said, cast not your pearls before swine. Boy, what a picture to use for the Jew. But Jesus Christ was continuing to prepare the soil of unbelief by withholding the truth from Israel. Now remember that the nation Israel had not received Jesus Christ as her Messiah in spite of the fact that he had presented himself to them as the Messiah completely in accordance with the Scriptures. Judge by the Scriptures. You know, the Bible says there will be Messiahs coming. And people will, oh, take hold. There's the Messiah. There's the Messiah. We judge the Messiah by the Scriptures, and the Jews should have also. But they didn't. They judged the Messiah by their tradition. They rejected the light. But in spite of the Scriptures, their leaders have rejected him and have determined to put him to death. You know, those people we see over and over and over again demanded miracles and signs. The people demanded a show because the people had rejected the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, Jesus knew, was not a nation about to believe and receive light, but a nation on a track of unbelief and on a willing slide into darkness. They slid into darkness willingly. They had plenty of light brought there by Jesus Christ. They rejected the light and went on a willing slide toward darkness. So Jesus began to veil his teaching, focusing more on his disciples and revealing more and more to them about his upcoming rejection and sacrificial death. So Jesus, concealing of these mysteries of the kingdom, gave momentum to this unbelieving nation to increase its efforts to purge itself of this kind of Messiah, for this Messiah did not fit into their beliefs. In other words, he let them go. And that going would result in his death on the cross. Now, the grapes of unbelief were not yet ready to harvest. So further truth was withheld from them so that the grapes of unbelief would continue to ripen. You know, God's a husbandman. He harvests also the grapes of wrath. Now, Jesus explained the principle upon which he was operating, for he says in verse 8, we've read it before, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord, knew the spirit of unbelief was in the land, and he operated by this principle. He did not feed unbelief with truth, but even take away any truth that they have in order for unbelief to come in full flower so that its natural result will occur. You know, God promotes the results of unbelief. He brings that harvest to its fullness, that it may be reaped. So we see this in its full flower. We will see this in its full flower when the Holy Spirit is withdrawn with the calling of the saints in the rapture. That's part of God's plan. Let unbelief flourish that it may be reaped. Light will be taken. God is the husbandman. And a part of this harvest will be a harvest resulting in his wrath. So by Jesus' actions, he encourages the ripening of the fruit of unbelief in Israel, and the natural result of unbelief will lead to the cross. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he put into place the shedding of his blood, that that might take place. Now, the inner circle of our Lord's followers not only heard our Lord's teaching, they took it to heart. They left all things behind to follow him. They were interested in light. They were interested in having more light. And they left all to follow him. Those who did not possess the truth only heard it, but did not apply it. They did not heed how they heard. Do we heed what we hear? Do we take what we hear, heed it, and put it into action? Jesus is teaching that the one who possesses his teaching is the one who acts on it. You say, "Oh, yes, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." But do your actions confirm that? Jesus is teaching that the one who possesses his teaching is the one who acts on it, who makes it his or her own, and who thus perseveres, grows to maturity, and bears fruit. They are doers of the word and not hearers only. Brother Bill, I'm afraid our churches are full of hearers. We want a church. We want a body of Christ that are doers. You know, what good is a body that doesn't do anything? We bury them, do we not? We put them in a casket and put them 6 feet under when the body doesn't do anything. Now, if the body is moving a little bit, there's hope. The nurses, there's hope. You know, if something's moving, there's hope. To those who use the truth, more is given. To those who keep hearing the truth rightly, they grow richer and richer. God can give to them, and thus God does give, because giving and enriching them and us for eternity is God's pleasure. You know, God is pleased to have children who grow for Him. Oh, He's so pleased. You know, a husbandman is pleased when the crop reveals itself. Oh, the little shoots, they come out of the soil, and the husbandman goes out there, and he's just so pleased. The rains have come, and look at the little plants. I'm so pleased to see them. I'm looking for fruit. And he goes out in a couple of weeks and sees some buds on the fruit, and he's more pleased because something's happening. Life is happening. But they who hear amiss prevent God from giving light to them, so that the more they continue hearing amiss, the worse their state becomes. Those who only hear it and do not act upon truth, even what they appear to possess is taken away. It has done them no good at all. We've seen that in our lives. Perhaps we've had periods in our lives where we've seen that. But that's an ominous or threatening condition to be in. Now, within this truth, I can understand why those who saw light and left that light are in a present state of darkness that is getting darker. You see that in the lives of friends and loved ones and people that you know. They leave light and their lives get dark.